again, I'll gut you like a fish.
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Behold! Fish Boy!
This is my boomstick!
Red Rum.
Carpet Day!
We'll tear your soul apart.
Oh, yes. There will be blood.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
What the prime time, bitch?
Hail Rodma.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Three From Hell podcast. Woo!
We're back.
Mm-hmm. I'm Sam, and on today I am joined by Dino and Justin and Melee.
And Luigi.
And Luigi. And it's me here too, Daddy. I'm here too. I'm here to talk about Smile 2 today, Daddy. Mm-hmm. And so as Dusty just said, we just watched Smile 2. This film was directed and written by Parker Finn, produced by Marty Bowen, Wick Godfrey, Isaac Klausner, Parker Finn, and Robert Salerno. Cinematography was done by Charlie Saroff, editing done by Elliot Greenberg, music done by Cristobal Tapia Devere, good job. Production companies are Temple Hill Entertainment and Bad Feeling, distributed by Paramount Pictures with a release date of October 18th, 2024. With a runtime of a quick 127 minutes, it had a budget of $28 million, and it brought in $138.1 million at the box office.
Mm.
Now, our cast includes a very short, spoilers, cameo by Kyle Gallner as Joel, reprising his role. We have Raul Castillo as Darius. We have Dylan Galula as Gemma. We have Ray Nicholson as Paul Hudson. Peter Jacobson as Morris. Miles Gutierrez Riley as Joshua, Lucas Cage as Lewis, Rosemary DeWitt as Elizabeth Riley, and Naomi Scott as Sky Riley. Now, if you want to watch Smile 2, you have a few options. It is available if you are a Sling TV subscriber. It is available on Sling TV. It is also available subscription-wise with MGM+, Paramount+, YouTube, the Roku channel, Amazon Prime, YouTube TV, Philo. You can also rent or buy it wherever you rent or buy your movies. And you can also watch it with us over at patreon.com/youdamnright for just $1 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, with all that said, Melee, I believe you were going to tell us what happened in Smile 2.
Who said that?
I did, just now.
Oh, you're right. I forgot you pay me nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Oh, Christ.
S-Y-N-O-P-S-I-S.
You're a fucking idiot.
One week at the Roscada Suicide, that ex-police officer Joel attempts to pass the small entity's kiss to a pair of criminals at their hideout, that a shootout killed them both, that which is witnessed by a drug dealer, Lewis, that Joel flees the hideout, that and is fatally run over by a truck.
Melee, you have to start over. It's incomprehensible. It's completely incomprehensible. Well, you see that in 6 days after Rose Cutter's death, the now cousin Joel attempts to pass the smile entity. Go ahead.
Fuck you. 1 week after Rose Cutter's suicide, ex-police officer Joel attempts to pass the smile entity's curse to a pair of criminals at their hideout. A shootout occurs, killing them both, which is witnessed by a drug dealer, Lewis C.K. Joel flees the hideout and is fatally run over by a truck. It's been a long... In New York City, successful pop star Sky Riley prepares for an upcoming comeback tour following a highly publicized struggle with substance abuse and a car crash that killed her boyfriend, Paul Hudson. I mean, my friend. Under constant supervision from her mother and manager, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth!
Along with her assistant, Joshua... Sky sneaks out to visit Lewis after injuring her back during rehearsals. At Lewis's home, Sky discovers his erratic behavior when he sees something that Sky cannot see before he collapses. Smiles at Sky and bludgeons himself to death with a weight.
Yeah.
A traumatized Sky decides not to call the police not wanting to be linked to Lewis's drug dealing. Sky continues preparations for her tour, but soon begins to have vivid hallucinations of smiling people as well as witnessing several inexplicable events. Music executives Darius invites Sky to a charity event he is hosting, which Elizabeth pressures her to accept. Sky also reconnects with her former best friend, Gemma, who she has not spoken to in a year after a falling out. That night, Daisy has nightmares about Paul's death before an unknown number texts her, claiming to know that Sky is in danger. At the charity event, Sky sees Paul smiling at her and accidentally injures an elderly patron, humiliating herself in front of the record label. Good bump. Sky contacts the unknown number and meets a man at a bar, Matt Murdock. He reveals himself to be Morris, a nurse whose brother was also killed by the entity and has been tracing it. He explains how killing someone is the only way to pass the curse along. Morris also theorizes that the entity is a parasite. Good movie. That will die without a host. So he suggests. So he suggests to kill and resuscitate Sky to rid her of the curse of Michael Myers, but she panics and flees. Sky is later attacked by the entity, who masquerades as several of her background dancers. Which leads Sky to suffer a concussion. In a flashback, it is revealed that Sky had argued with Paul on the night of his death, and that she intentionally caused the car to crash. Sky soon awakens in a wellness facility where she argues with Elizabeth over her behavior. She realizes that the entity is posing as Elizabeth, who seemingly kills herself with a mirror shard. Sky attempts to flee but discovers that she is holding the shard. Desperate to break the curse, Sky steals a gun from a security guard and leaves the facility. She meets Gemma, who drives her away. Sky contacts Morris, who sends her where to meet, before getting a call from Gemma, revealing that the entity has been taking her form. Sky takes control of the car and meets Morris at an abandoned pizzeria, Pizza Pizza, as Morris prepares to stop Sky's heart in a freezer for 8 minutes to be certain the entity is gone. Sky is attacked by the entity, and despite her attempts to kill herself, the entity overpowers and locks her in the freezer. Sky then emerges on stage at her tour's opening night, where she is confronted by a smiling version of herself, which bursts open to reveal the entity's true form. Resigned to her fate, Sky allows the entity to crawl inside her as she collapses. Then opposite, Sky gets back up and stabs her to death with a microphone daddy, passing the curse into Darius, Joshua, a still alive Elizabeth, and the rest of the horrified Darius. Finito.
Finn. Well, that was something.
Yeah, that.
Well, Justin,
it turned out when he started doing the Dusty. So,
well, unfortunately for you, Dino,
the first time or the second time,
I do believe Justin is going to tell us what the people think of Smile 2, Daddy.
Smile 2 has a top critic score of 88% on Rotten Tomatoes and an all critic score of 86%. It has a verified audience score of 81% and an all audience score of 78%.
Interesting.
Interesting indeed. Kind of surprised that the critic scores are a lot higher, but they normally are, it seems, when it comes to this stuff.
I think when you get into the all critics, it opens the door to dumbasses bitching about the smallest shit and giving a lower score.
I mean, the all critics, it only drops 2%. With the all audience, it drops...
Oh, the all audience is what I meant, yeah.
Yeah, the all audience, it drops 3%, so...
Yeah.
But, like, the overall, between verified audience and all audience, is, like, significantly lower. Like, it's 7% lower for verified between the critics and the... verified audience, and then all critics and all audience, it's, you know, it's 86% for all critics and then 78% for all audience. So it's, I don't know what the deal is with that. So interesting. I just saw a review that said that the movie was too long. Shut the fuck up.
Oh, Sam.
Yeah, sorry about that.
So,
and that's it.
All yeah. right. Thank you, Justin.
Yep. Over 2 hours ends up being too long. But writer director Parker Finn has found a great satirical target, given life to a third film easily and a showcase another rising star to watch. That's a reason to, well, smile about. Shut the fuck up. Creepy and clever. Creepy and clever, but rarely surprising. I don't think that's the point of the movie.
Oh,
is to surprise you. Nope. I don't think that's ever been the point of it. Okay, actually, I have a bone to pick with this particular review. I still fucking got by the ending.
Yeah.
not the creature coming out. The fake out ending that happens literally at the end of the first movie, and then she ends up back at the house realizing that like none of that shit happened, and she's like, "Oh, I didn't do it. I didn't kill the demon."
Whoopsie.
Like, the fake out ending is clearly something that's going to happen in every movie moving forward, and I'm still going to probably get got by it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's good. It's good. It works. It fits the narrative no matter how many times you do it. Well, mm-hmm. it doesn't mm-hmm. break the movie.
Yeah.
Is it going to get old by the sixth movie? Probably, but I don't give a fuck.
Let them know.
The movie ultimately scuttles its own ambitions. I don't even know what the fuck you mean by that. What's that Family Guy thing when he says about it imposes upon itself? The fucking Godfather thing? It insists upon itself. There we go. Mm-hmm. That's what that was. This is a rare case of a horror sequel that is better than the original. I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to have words about that. While I'm sure I'll again be in the minority for all of its obvious strengths, and just like its predecessor, Smile 2 made me angry, and that's all there is to say.
No, there's more.
Thank you, critics.
You're welcome.
Audiences. This is the one that I read this before we started recording. And I have this had to make the podcast. Horror of the year, 4.5 stars until Nosferatu.
Real, let him know. Me for real.
I saw that and I was like, that's absolutely getting read no matter what. Solid sequel anchored by excellent leasing performance. Naomi Scott is incredible, but the plot leaves a lot to be desired. Do not watch this.
Thank you. Thank you for your insight.
Music was great. Great sequel. Overall, great movie. 4.6. I agree. Better than the sequel. Huh? This is the sequel.
Thank you.
Too much gore, not enough fun. I don't agree with that, but okay. All right, where's the movie was a roller coaster? Something about it being a roller coaster. Anyway, storyline was not good. 1 star.
Cool.
God, can you people get some original material, please? I just solid experience the whole way through. 5 stars. Scariest movie I've seen. 5 stars. Not as scary as the first one. 3 stars. Ooh. I'm just trying to find like one fucked up like 1 star review that isn't just movie bad or too much gore. Exactly. This movie was trash. First one was better. 1 star. Like, I'm trying to find any one review that gives this movie a low score that is like even remotely interesting. And then we could be done with this fucking bullshit because people have brain worms. RFK style. This movie fucking Jesus Christ. This is not going well.
You're going to make yourself more angry.
Oh, here we go. Worst movie we've seen this year. Confusing. 0.5 star.
Thank you.
I'm picking that one because fucking worst movie in the Halloween franchise.
Is that
That's it?
Okay. Thank you. Dustin, go ahead and give us your review.
Okay. Let me pull up my notes because I took notes during the movie.
Oh, brother, that's terrifying.
Two.
Oh, sorry.
I just doodled.
So let me start off by giving the score for the movie, and then I'll just talk about all the shit that I like and all the shit I didn't like. So I'm giving this an 8.
Okay.
So it's not a bad movie. I very much enjoyed Smile 2.
Yeah.
I am slowly realizing that I think maybe I like Smile, the first Smile, way more than I actually thought I did. But yeah, this movie is great. There's no significant issues with it necessarily. But I do have some gripes with it. I'll go over the gripes first. And then we'll get to the things that I did like about the movie. I'm going to throw this one out first because it's a stupid gripe that I just, because I like him as an actor, that he dies so quickly. Kyle Gallner dying at the beginning of the movie. I know it has to happen because the curse has to be transferred. I still hated that. Especially considering we're introducing a character like the dude towards the end who's trying to help her no longer be cursed. I feel like conceptually that could have also been Kyle Gallner's character, but then how do you transfer the curse? It's hit or miss there. But to an extent, I think that would have made more sense. But also I just would have rather seen him in more of the movie. Similarly, would have liked to see more of, is it Ray Nicholson? Is that his son's name?
Yeah.
Cause I heard that he was in this movie. He really is not in this movie that much.
Not much, no, really not.
Everyone was very hyped. Yeah, everyone was very hyped about him being in this movie. He is not in this movie that much.
He was like a big part of the like marketing and advertising for it too. And he's really not in it. Like
he's really not in much of it. Although, definitely Jack Nicholson's kid.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like, definitely.
Almost immediately. The CG blood, the digital blood. I'm calling it out here because holy fuck is it like way more apparent in this movie. Something about this movie particularly, and I don't like calling shit out like this because normally I don't notice it, but in Smile 2 specifically, and I understand that digital effects is an art form in and of itself and whatnot, and especially with like Lollipop himself, because I'm sure that Lollipop this time around might have been digital as opposed to being practical this time, because he's growing, he's becoming different, which could cause issues with making him practical. Don't quote me on that. I don't know if he was practical or not in this movie because he was practical in the first one, but I'm not sure about this one. But regardless, the CG blood, the CG eye popping out, like, it just didn't sit right with me. Some of the other aspects of things, just, I don't want to say it felt very fake, but there were those issues, and I don't really like that. It didn't take too much away from the movie, but, I mean, there are some significantly impactful scenes that, you know, are taken away by the CG blood. Because if you compare like Laura's death in the first movie with the vase or the box cutter or whatever, where she cuts like her whole face, to her mom's death in quotation marks in this movie, they look completely different.
Yeah.
And that degrades the what they are trying to accomplish with this movie and the message they're trying to get across with this movie. So I definitely think that that's an issue that this movie had. And then these two things kind of go together. The movie's too bright and too open. And what I mean by that is that the actual like people that are hidden in the darkness that were hidden in the darkness in the first movie that were haunting Susie Bacon's character, that's not really that present here. And I think that's a detriment. It's not as creepy. It's not as brooding as the first movie was. And I think that's a big detriment to the movie as well. And then there's less of a presence of the demon himself or itself. Because I feel as though the smiles happen significantly less frequently than they did in the first movie. And that's weird considering that's the name of the franchise. It's the name of the movie. So I think that was a little weird, but those are all my issues with the movie. I'm going to run through all the good things about it. Cinematography, acting, costume design, soundtrack. It did not feel like it was a 2-hour movie. Costume design, all that shit ruled. This is just new characters. Being able to continue the curse on the franchise in general. Obviously, that's a big thing, especially considering how the movie ends. I like the idea that the movie was trying to convey about self-image, people who are famous, and how it is with people being famous. And it seems like she may have been like a child star almost, so like that as well. And then on top of that, the toxic relationships fans have with celebrities, as well as just mental health as a whole, which is what this entire franchise has been about from the beginning. And then we kind of more so saw Lollipop actually possess someone physically, with like from the outsider's perspective that we didn't see in the first one. So like we actually saw Lewis, the drug dealer, get possessed by him before he inevitably took his own life to transfer the curse. So those are my big things. And then obviously I said, or this is pretty much explained, but like the trauma of her boyfriend dying, the car crash that caused her to crash out, if you were, that's how the curse got transferred to her from Lewis, because remember, the demon feeds on trauma. That's what they say in the first movie. I think the demon's lore continues to grow in this movie, and I don't know how you end this. I don't think you can. And I'm not saying that as a bad thing or a cop-out answer or a, like, fuck you, I don't want Smile to end. I'm just saying, like, if there was any way that they were going to end this franchise, they could have done it in this movie. I don't think they're ever going to be able to do it. But they'll find a way.
Yeah, I don't think they should do a third one. I think they should probably leave it where it is.
Even though they will.
They already agreed with it. Yeah, they are. That's right, yeah. Yeah, I don't know where they go from there. I'll go ahead and get mine out of the way. I don't have much to say. I did like this more than I liked the first one. Not by much, but I did like it more. I thought it was more fun. Which is not like, I feel like that's weird to say it's a horror movie, but I had I had more fun watching it than I had with the first one. Not just because I was getting jealous watching the first one, but I just thought this one was more enjoyable. And it was like, not significantly longer, but it was definitely longer than the first one, and it felt shorter than the first one, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I like the vibe of this one more than I like the vibe of the other one. I don't really know how to put my finger on it, but the acting was really well done. The cinematography was really well done. I think I just like the setting of this one more than and the build up to it and everything. I just thought it was they got the kinks worked out in the first one, and then they went into the second one with the wheels were already rolling. So they just got to jump straight into it, and I think that really helped a lot as far as making this one feel better. Yeah, I don't really have much to say, but I did like it more, and I'm going to give Smile 2 a 9 out of 10.
Ooh.
Dino.
What?
You're up next. What do you mean, what? That's how this shit works.
That's my thing! Every time my name is mentioned, I have to say what?
What?
Dino, what? In the butt. In the butt. Okay. So when it was announced that this movie was going to happen, I'm like, okay, that makes perfect sense. And they mentioned that it was going to be a pop star setting. I called the ending immediately. However, it didn't sour any of my experience or expectations going in. It very much exceeded my expectations beyond. They kept the elements that made the first one so standout-ish, that made it so well, and as you all stated, the cinematography and everything else. When you go into a curse movie, don't expect anything new of the story. You're either going to get the proper fitting bleak ending, or you're going to get a really stupid happy ending that makes no fucking sense whatsoever. Which I'm very worried that that is the only way that they can go with this. As far as like an end game of it goes. Because the second that I was done, everybody was talking about it, leaving the theater. I'm like, okay, this is going to do well. And they're going to do a third. I just hope, like, it's like every bit of anxiety goes into the next one. Like, please don't fuck this up so soon. Or please don't ruin this franchise. You're doing so well with it. I'm a firm believer in, if you want to tell two parts of it, that's totally fine. Unfriended. I will defend that movie to the death. As far as any of the technical aspects, for you listeners out there, I'm in my 40s. Fake anything doesn't bother me as much, but I love hearing it bother younger viewers more, because I'm just like, bro, I'm not paying attention to the blood. I come from a time when bright red paint was spurted out of orifices from the most ridiculous things. But CG blood, I mean, I'm glad they're using it for that instead of way more bigger and highly noticeable things throughout the whole movie. I have so many other films listed that are totally guilty of that sin. However, a lot of the shots that they use in these films are long takes, and you can't do multiple long takes without cutting some serious time if you're going to use the practical blood. So that's the aspect that I really put into it, but I consider it just a minimal element, and as y'all did too. I like the fact that it didn't follow every single trope of the sequel. The cop from the first one dying right away, I was just like, oh shit, okay, you know what, that's totally fine. It's
Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. I completely forgot to mention, I was a little worried that it was going to be a direct, like, jump straight into it sequel from what happened at the end of it, which I'm usually not like too big of a fan of.
Yeah.
And they very quickly nipped that in the bud. So like, I'm glad they did it and then finished it quickly and moved on and went with a new story as a whole, because I like the way they did that. I forgot to mention that. Sorry, Dino. Continue.
No, you're good. But yeah, that's, to me, that was the interesting point of it. I'm like, okay, this seems like it's not going to be a standard part two. Which I appreciate that, because not every the trope of I've been trying to pass this on for forever, like, it doesn't make any sense, especially with the lore that they kind of built in of it's a few days that he's had this curse, and it seems like he's been looking for a while to pass it on or whatever. Hence why he followed a criminal into a hidden drug house and everything else. But like, they didn't give you a timeline for it. So that was fine, but I'm glad that they didn't do the whole, I've been dealing with this for a year or anything else. Like, okay, no, that's not how that works. Especially if you're a cop, you've seen some fucked up shit. But the whole use of the creature or the curse when it mattered, I feel made it better, because if you're going to do the same standing and staring and looking at blank anything, or people smiling at you and you not doing anything, it gets tiring. It turns into the curse of Annabelle or the movie Cursed, where it's constant jump scares and you're just like, okay, I'm sick of this shit. Can we move on? Like, this movie focused more on the character development other than the actual like focusing on the curse, because we already know what the curse is about and how it fucks with you and everything else. It's just with this setting of the fast paced pop star and everything, it's like, yeah, fuck your feelings here. We have to go. You have a tour coming in. You got to do this press conference. You got to go to this charity event. We don't have time for your feelings. And so it popped up when it was the most vulnerable to her, as opposed to the doctor in the first one, who was just like, she had a lot of free time on her hands.
Right.
But so like, it wasn't enough to drive her crazy. Like, that's to me, the cynical planning of this curse is like, it hits you when you're the most vulnerable or when it's the most important to you. That's how evil this fucking thing is. And like, on the moments that it did happen, you're just like, oh fuck yeah, it's here. Like, you feel terrible for what's going on, but then you're reminded that this is a curse movie, and you know, you get your scares and whatnot. And I appreciate the jump scares in this, because you know they're coming, but the presentation of what they are, there was thought put into it. Like the nightmare of the best friend whose fucking entire face just glue with headlights.
Mm-hmm. Brain dead vibes.
And everything. I'm like, dude, yeah. What the fuck? Like, and so, yeah, like I said, I knew that this ending was coming. But I, when it got there, I smiled.
He did the thing.
But I'm like, okay, this is how it's going to be. That's fine. And thankfully, you guys pointed out that Lollipop is getting bigger because it's feeding more off of it. Which puts into the whole idea of, oh no, they're going to have a huge fucking CG lollipop when this goes into the third one.
Human centipede, fucking.
But no, I very much enjoyed it. You guys touched up on all the points that it was made to be there, and of self-image, of guilt, and then like people pleasing and toxic relationships with not just fans, but people in your entourage too. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I'm curious to see where they go with the third one. And I hope it's the last one, because we don't need a part four.
I don't think it even needs a third one, personally.
It doesn't need a third one, but it's going to happen.
Yes.
But I just hope that the director or the writer has enough pull to say, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anything you guys fucking do after, you better do like a series or something, because we're not doing another film.
Yeah.
But so yeah, with that being said, Smile 2, I thought it was a good step up from the first one. I love the hell out of the first one, and I love the hell out of this one too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm gonna say about 46 pop stars out of say about an 80. Yeah, okay. That's pretty good.
Translate.
That sounds like a 9 to me.
For reference, Dino did give the first Smile 9.325.
So 9.326.
Yeah,
that's accurate.
This guy gets it.
Okay,
9.3
out of 5.
2.6 out of 7. All right, great. Michael, you're last.
All right, so I think I like the premise of this one a bit more than the first, but at the same time, I kind of like the, how do you say it? Like the smaller scale of the first one. It felt like a bit more personal.
Yes, and I agree.
The one thing I appreciate about these two movies, like in a way, the Lollipop is almost the side character of what the real villains of the story are, and that's trauma and guilt, and more so in this case with the fame and what comes with it. I love seeing the progression of the characters, especially for her here. It's very interesting how, in a way, how a tragic accident kind of affects like their entire worldview. And in a way, there are some things that you can't really heal from. And that's kind of how it feels like throughout the whole movie, that no matter what she's trying to do, she can't really escape of what happened. And she probably has been self-destructive, like very much throughout the whole movie and the backstory. And it's kind of the monster's kind of feeding off of that, making the entire world feel like, oh, everyone hates you. So yeah. As always, the cinnamon toast crunch,
mm-hmm.
outstanding. The music reminded me of The Substance, outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
I it's hard for me to say because
this film was very substance-like.
Yeah, that's the weird thing is watching this after The Substance. It was very substance adjacent, which is weird.
Who has only ever seen The Substance?
Yes,
this movie reminded me a lot of The Exorcist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Halloween 5.
The Exorcist. No. Oh, Bailey, I have to show you something after we're done recording. Now that you brought that up, anyway, continue.
Well, it's so big. Anyway, like I like the tiny bit of personal stakes of the first one, but I kind of like how much they expanded here in the second one, and there wasn't really a cop out here. But as Dino was saying, like you know, as the more that you're trying to add to this, the scarier it becomes for the next movie. Like, how are you gonna? What's the end game gonna be here? So, right. I kind of hope that in the end, it just finishes with Lollipop taking over the entire world, and that's it. That's the end of the
movie. Yeah. As Dino was talking, I was thinking, well, they could just continue the movie until Lollipop literally takes over the entire world, and then Delph implodes because it can't do anything else, which I think would be pretty funny.
You know, but... yeah, if they go a super, like, over-the-top, like, supernatural, well... it's already pretty supernatural, but like they go way over the top with it on the third one. I would be fine with that.
Mm-hmm. In a way, that's almost like what Shin Godzilla was doing. So, mm-hmm. And that's one of my favorite films of all time. So, you know, major props to that. Do you know what score I gave it for the first movie?
You gave The First Smile a 9.4.
Ooh, okay. I'll probably have to give this a 9.5.
9.5.
Because I think I was more invested with this character's motivations and everything with her backstory more than the first one. But I also like the smaller scale of the first one too. So it's hard to choose. But this one just takes it over the edge a little bit more. Because, right. I don't know, just to ramble a bit more, watching this movie kind of reminded me of like Michael Jackson and all the stuff that he's went through. And I kind of feel like the stuff that she goes through with all the guilt and all that stuff and the publicity and the mental image, I kind of feel like that's something that all like major stars go through in some way. So that's what it kind of reminded me of.
I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's going to bring Smile 2 to an average score of 8.96, which puts it 0.1 below the first Smile film at 9.06. That will put it above films like Terrifier 3. Puts it above Rob Zombie's Halloween by just a little bit. Rob Zombie's Halloween having an 8.75. And it also puts it above Malignant, surprisingly, which had an average score of 8.83. And that was, of course, in the pre-Melee and Dino days.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Smile 2, good film. I think the score between those two, like the average score between those two being so close, just a testament to how good both films were.
Mm-hmm.
And not really so much that one was better than the other, but the fact that they managed to make two separate movies off of the same premise and absolutely knocked it out of the park with both. I thought they did a great job with both of them. But yeah, so next week is Christmas. So we're going to watch about? Krampus for Christmas.
The Christmas creature.
And hopefully, fingers crossed, we will have a surprise guest for that episode. And by surprise guest, I mean Tony, the founding member of the Three from Hell. Hopefully he will be here next week.
Yeah, close, Tony.
We are trying our absolute best to get him in. He is very, very busy. That's why he's not been here.
We will kill the mouse.
We will kill the mouse. Yeah, we joke about him not being here, but legitimately, it's not of any fault of his own. He is a very, very busy man. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're trying to squeeze him into our schedule. So yeah, hopefully we can get him in. But yeah, thank you guys for listening. As we are coming to nearly to the end of the first year of the Three from Hell podcast. What a crazy ride it's been. Justin and I had this idea about a year ago. About a year and a half ago now, and it took a year of constantly talking about it and planning on it before we finally landed on a premise, and yeah, it's been fun. I really fucking enjoy it. Anyway, Thank you, Dino and Melee, for coming along the ride with us. Yeah, let's get out of here.
You're welcome.
My back hurts, I'm tired, and I have to get the You Damn Right episode for tomorrow ready to go, so... So yeah, thank you guys very much. Thank you. Follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcast and leave us a review. The reviews do help us get and reach out to more people. You can buy our merch on our Fourth Wall site in the description below. The link is down there if you look for it. It's somewhere down there. It's watching you right now. Actually, it's in your walls. Subscribe to the Patreon at patreon.com/ you damn right. $1 a month for the Three from Hell tier, or you can just go ahead and bump it up to $2 a month and get the YDR and Three from Hell content. All of it.
Also,
every bit of it.
When does this get uploaded?
This Thursday.
Ah. I'm just going to say, you know, what if I want to watch maybe some wacky wrestling, maybe during the Christmas time?
Wacky wrestling during the Christmas time? Well, Dino, would you like to tell us about that?
I don't know what to do with him. You mean my watch along? That's coming along in about 2 days. Well, at the time that this drops, probably a day. It's on Thursday.
It'll be the same day this episode goes up.
Oh, so if you guys are listening to this in the daytime, I'll be doing a Advent calendar watch along. It's where I pick a match, and then I ask a few others if they want to pick some matches too. And then in between, put in some trailers and commercials and other stuff to really get into the Christmas spirit, the holiday spirit, whatever you're celebrating. And that'll be on twitch.tv/dwindwoodsghost. That's my Twitch channel. And join us for the Advent calendar watch along. It's going to be funsies. But if you're listening to this in the nighttime, you missed it. Man, yeah, did you miss it.
Yeah, fuck you.
Had a good time.
Yeah.
I think we all suggested a match. I think all of us suggested at least one match.
I know you did specifically.
I sent you a few.
You put the most in, and I'm very grateful for that, honestly. Yeah.
Also, if somehow you're listening to this at night and you already missed the calendar thing, you should repay him by buying his merch.
I agree.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Buy my stuff. You can buy also stuff at the Three from Hell YDR shop, including the shirt commemorating my first appearance here.
The Howdy from Hell shirt. Proceeds go to Dino Winwood. Because we don't fucking need money.
I need money. Wow, yes, I'm the bum of the group. Please give me money.
We get money from the Patreon. Buy the shirt so we can give Dino money for it.
Please.
Yeah. Just do it, damn it.
I'll SUD at gunpoint.
No gun needed.
Yeah, that's true. I said at gum point.
This is
America. All right. Well, let's get the fuck out of here.
The holidays.
Thank you guys very much for listening. We'll see you next week. I'm Sam. Dino's here. Justin's here. Melee's here. What? We're the Three from Hell, minus Tony, plus Dino, plus Melee, and we love you. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Smile. Two.
Mm-hmm.